maybe a few weeks ago, a month ago, I made an errant comment, a flippant comment. I don't know what you want to call it, but I had somehow we were talking about beer, non-alcoholic drinks. Maybe it was Jerry Mayer Judson, our show contributor, was joining us. Were you there? Did I make that comment?
I think I do bring a lot of sort of non-alcoholic content to the show.
Yes,
so it could have been in response to something that I said as well.
And I happened to mention that I've never enjoyed a non-alcoholic beer. And I was speaking the truth. I've kind of had a lot of them. I'll be the first to admit that. But the ones that I've had, I haven't truly enjoyed them. Although we've had a lot of segments on folks going out in the night of the town, but not drinking. Basically, alcohol-free events. We've got a non-alcoholic liquor store that just opened up a commercial drive. I keep mentioning that. And so it is a cultural movement. It's a cultural fact. But one of our listeners happened to hear that errant comment and wanted to help or at least to educate all of us, especially me, on non-alcoholic beer. We have Nick Black, who's the director of sales for Strange Fellows Brewing here in Vancouver, and he joins us now. Nick, welcome.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
I really appreciate you coming by. So before we do some taste testing, I just want to learn a little bit about Strange Fellows for a moment. How did you, first of all, get into the business of craft brewery?
I started many years ago as a barback at Yale Town Brew Pub in Yale Town. And Ian Hill was the brewmaster there. And I got to know him really well in my time there. And I really enjoyed the beers he was making. And he was actually the first one that taught me about craft beer. Before then, you know, my dad drank Guinness and Stella, and that's really all I knew.
Yeah.
But working there, I learned a lot through Ian. He's a bit of an encyclopedia when it comes to beer.
And so from there, Ian decided that he wanted to open up his own craft brewery?
That's right, yeah. He worked towards opening his own craft brewery. His business partner, Aaron, got in touch with him through another brewer. And yeah, we started Strange Fellows.
And so you joined them as well then?
That's right, yeah.
What was it like the early days?
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work.
I bet.
Yeah, it was a lot of work building a brand, but it was a lot of fun as well.
What is it about the craft brewing business that attracted you? What do you like about it?
It's a really great community. The breweries, like the craft breweries, all seem to really get along and support each other,
yeah.
which is really cool. And I enjoyed that aspect of it quite a bit.
Did you expect it to take off? Just the craft brewing industry itself take off? In such a way that it's just every community now has two or three craft breweries. They're incredibly proud of them. You go to any community, someone's got a hoodie on, a t-shirt on, representing their respective brewery, a craft brewery in their community. Do you ever expect that it would take off to the point it has?
I don't know that I expected to the extent it has. I mean, it's pretty big. It's awesome. I don't know that I expected that. I expected it to grow from where it was at the time, certainly.
Yeah.
I think the writing was on the wall with everybody for that and the popularity of that, you know, especially when P49 first opened their tasting room.
Yeah.
You know, it was a very popular spot to go to. And I certainly thought it was going to grow to this extent.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it shocks me to this day how big it is. Do you go to craft breweries at all, or are you just a big non-alcoholic fan?
I'm so boring, Jazz. Like, I just stay in my home, and I don't do a lot of stuff that's fun or cool. But okay. I hear such good things. And, of course, I mean, there's a craft brewery scene in every single of our 21 municipalities. So
yes.
I need to go out there. Maybe I can get some education on where is the best one to go to in Burnaby, British Columbia.
So there's a few there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's talk about the beer itself. Now, you've brought, I guess, an IPA, a non-alcoholic IPA. And pale ale with you, Nick?
That's right, yeah. Nevertheless.
All right. Well, let's open one of them up.
Sure.
And we'll do a taste test. And I know our colleagues, Talia Miller and Stephen Chang, have the drink with them as well. Am I right, Stephen? You just have the cup. Okay. You have the glass?
Got a glass with us right now.
Okay. Well, come over and grab a drink. And we will do the taste test. Thank you so much. Thank you for pouring that, Nick. And I'm not sure where my ignorance came from. I'm going to admit that right here now.
Well, if you found something that works for you,
yeah,
if you
exactly.
found that the alcohol variety of these beverages works for you,
exactly.
then maybe that's all you need. But it's cool. We're branching out. We're experimenting with non-alcohol. I think that's the thing for 2024 is you're experimenting with non-mind-altering substances. Did you ever think you'd be doing this in your journalistic career?
No, I did not.
It was the first time for everything. everything. I'm excited. I've had non-alcoholized wine before that I've liked.
Yeah.
But I've never had non-alcoholic beer before. I'm so excited.
Sorry, this is the IPA then?
This is the pale ale.
This is the pale ale. This is the nevertheless non-alcoholic pale ale. So yeah. I'm going to try that. You too, Jerry?
Yeah. Bottoms up, chin chin.
Oh, wow. I'm not just saying that.
Okay.
That actually tastes like beer.
That tastes like beer. It's true.
I'm not just saying that. Oh, my
That's
God.
That's really nice.
This is really good.
It's tasty, yeah. We're really very proud of it.
How long did it take to get to this? Like, how many tests did you have to
iterations.
Do? Iterations did you have to go through?
Quite a few. So it's been around for about a year now. And it was about 3 years in the making. Now, that wasn't full time. It's not like that's all we were doing. But we were working on it as much as we could, really. It was a process.
So I'm very curious. You obviously have a successful craft brewery. You're doing well with alcoholized drinks. Why the need to go into non-alcoholic? Because was the market – did you notice it growing at the time or what was it?
No, actually. It was – Really, I think Ian found it, and the production team in general found it as an intellectual challenge. You know, at that point, we hadn't had a non-alcoholic beer that we enjoyed. I mean, it's come a long way since then, in short 4 years. But at that time, we hadn't had anything that we liked, and we thought, what if we could make it? Ian happened to be traveling around England and went to a small pub in the Midlands and had one that he actually thought was, oh, this is good. Maybe it is possible. So that started the kind of, let's test this out. Let's see what we can do. And we came to this and we're incredibly proud of it.
Wow. Stephen, Talia, I got to ask you guys. Let me go to you first, Talia. Your thoughts?
Oh, it's amazing. Oh my God. I love it.
It tastes like beer, doesn't it?
It does. That's absolutely crazy.
Best on alcoholic beer.
Really?
I've had so far.
10 out of 10. Would drink again.
You guys are serious.
It really tastes like it. You can't tell the difference.
No, I agree with you. That's right away. You heard me. I said it tastes like beer. So it's hats off to you guys. Now, you have another one as well, right? You have a...
I also brought, our IPA, nevertheless, IPA.
Let's try that as well, folks. Right. Drink up.
Okay, I'm going to be a snob. I'm going to try my best to be a tasting person and to really give a qualitative analysis here.
Yes.
I like how it hits you immediately and it's very fresh and crisp and right off the bat. I really like that.
Yeah.
And then there's that immediate kind of soft palate punch where it's a little bit hoppy. And I think that's really good. If I did a blind taste test, God's honest truth, I could not differentiate between that and, say, an alcoholic pale ale. That's wild to me. Technology has come a long way, and you can, I don't know, it's not just a grocery store beer that you're kind of relegated to if you are sober, but you know what I mean? Like going and getting O'Doul's or what have you. I'm just saying now we have choices and we have things that you can really tailor to your taste, whereas this was not necessarily the case.
No, this is a very, 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 very impressive. So, all right, so let's try the, once again, is this the pale ale then?
This is the IPA.
IPA, sorry. This is the IPA. All right, let's try this.
Hazy IPA.
Hazy IPA, okay. Well, this is good, too. This is good, too.
Honestly, I'm not a huge fan of an IPA, but I would drink this any day over any IPA that I've ever had. This is fantastic.
Pineapple, stone fruit. Oh, wow. Tropical, hazy, and juicy. There you go. So how do you come up with the ideas here, Nick, in regards to what you want to make?
I think we started with the pale ale, just in our biggest seller is our Talisman pale ale. So I think the idea was like, can we come up with something that's similar to Talisman, but doesn't have alcohol? So that's where we started with the pale ale. And then naturally it was like, okay, well, we made this, can we do an IPA? And, you know, next we'll try other styles, I'm sure. Whether it be a lager or a pilsner or ale of some sort.
Now, you won an award for one of them, did you? Did you not?
We have. The IPA is actually brand new. It hasn't been around. It's only been around for about a month.
That's right. February, right? It launched last month. That's right.
But the Pale Ale, which we launched last year, it won best non-alcoholic beer at Canada Cup of Beer last year.
Canada Cup. Wow. Yeah. That's impressive. Let me go to you, Talia. What do you think?
I'm shook, as the kids would say. It tastes exactly like a regular beer.
It does. Steven, how about you?
Here's the thing, Jazz. Earlier you said you didn't like non-alcoholic beer. I just saw a huge smile on your face after you drank both. And this one, this is like, you can really taste it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Can't tell the difference.
No, you can't. I will take all of it back now. Jerry, have you tried it?
This one in my hand right now, I thought it's so good. Yeah, it's, yeah. Yeah, that's it. I'm just sitting here drinking happily. I love that there is pineapple and stone fruit in it. I'm very into stone fruit and all of the things that I drink, so I really like that. Yeah, no, this is super nice, and it feels very funny that you're drinking your words right now, that you gotta watch what you say. These mics are on, exactly. And someone will come in studio with their delicious beverages and prove you wrong.
Yeah, no kidding. Nick, how competitive is the market when it comes to non-alcoholic beverages?
We're still learning about it, to be honest. We're very new to us, obviously.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure, really. I certainly have seen growth of it over the last year. Now that we've entered the area, maybe I'm just more hyper aware of it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more options out there now than there was when I at least what I was perceiving.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of good options out there. I've tried a bunch of them, and there are some good options out there. I mean, obviously, I'm very proud of what we do, but there are getting more. So I would imagine it's going to start to continue to get more competitive.
Do you see that cultural change? People always say we're drinking less. And you were talking about working at Yaletown Brewing many years ago and where you are today. Have you seen the cultural shift yourself?
Yeah, I think a little bit. It's an interesting one. I think, you try and look at it generationally a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. It seems like the younger generations aren't as much. My generation, I don't know that I see it all that much.
Yeah.
Certainly with my group of friends and things like that.
Yeah.
But you're seeing a little bit, I guess, over generations, really.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you. I think I wouldn't see it with the Gen Xers like myself, but I think the younger generation that's coming up, it's a whole different conversation than what it was, 20 years ago. And you can see it, like we said, people are organizing events that don't involve drinking anymore,
yeah,
which is very different. But this drink would be perfect, that's for sure. I really want to appreciate, we want to say thank you so much for coming and dropping by and making me drink my words.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate you having me.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.